Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Okay, let's go into the scriptures. This is a very short one. This message is titled, How to Engage with Your Prophetic Word. How to engage with your prophetic word. And please, I appeal to you in the name of Jesus. Please listen to what I'm about to share with you. Whether you are listening online or you will be listening to this message later. This generation struggles with not just attention, but giving heed. You know, giving heed is a very strong word. So if somebody seems to be very spiritual, I may not be so impressed with you until I see your alignment, how the word of God influences your daily decisions. There are two ways to know a very spiritual person. In the context of the Christian faith. Number one, you look at the love life of that believer. Number two, you look at how the Holy Spirit leads that believer. So if a Christian likes or loves prophetic words, and I realize that many people who love prophetic words don't give heed to prophetic words, but they like it. They like to say, oh, I went for this meeting and the man of God said this about me. But they do not give heed. But you are looking at somebody today who, by the mercy of God, is a product of prophecy. I do not think that maybe I would have made much progress if I had to figure out what I needed to do at certain points in my life, because some of us are not really good at making critical decisions. When I was going to go to my school, it was by instruction. The Lord led me there. It was not my choice. It seemed that every major decision that had brought profit into my life was not my choice. So what I'm sharing with you is not a preaching per se or a teaching. This is my life. It's something I've learned. And if you are part of this prophetic community, you really should listen to this. And that's why you notice I like to talk about the prophetic school and all, because even when you deviate, your level of deviation won't be so high. It will be easy for God to say, okay, go back to, where are you now? Block 5. Go back to block 3. You are okay as at block 3. But when you've deviated and they calculated the year, they say, this is 1992. Where do you want to start from? We now begin a lot of remedial programs. The scripture says to us, it is good for a man to bear his yoke when he's young. Because there is a time that you may come into, and even God may not be able to do so much with you again. Even though he loves you, bear your yoke. We are all young people here. This is the time to bear your yoke. This is not the time to be looking for counsels from those who do not have covenant with God. What do you expect them to tell you? Huh? What do you expect somebody to tell you? Somebody who is a hustler. I was somewhere yesterday, I was trying to make a purchase and somebody walked up to me and offered me an alcoholic drink. He didn't know me from anywhere. He just said, I like you. Would you like to? But you see, I was already upset because I couldn't find what I was trying to buy. So I wasn't in a very good space emotionally. So I looked at him. I said, I have wine you don't know about. He said, no, this is just a gesture. Then he said to me, then I said to him, I am a Christian, I don't touch wine. Then he said to me, I am also a Christian. Then I said to him, it is not about your title. It's about your consecration. Then I said, stop. don't see anything again. Then I walked into the store. And then I left. So just because somebody is in your office and is a pastor, is a reverend, or he comes from a very big church, or seems to. The Bible says, go from a fool when you notice that counsel is not with him. A lot of Christians, and I say it with every sense of humility, are not in tune with the Spirit of God as far as their life is concerned. Number one, they don't know. Number two, they gamble. They gamble with it. And number three, they are only taking what comes, whatever life brings to them. That's what you should be able to say, no, this is not what the Lord wants for me. So the scriptures say those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, which means that there is a difference between a child and a son. Because unto us, a child is what? Is born. Children are born. But unto us, a son is what? That means he will be led. Bat mitzvah. He will be led. Do you know that ceremony? Bat mitzvah? Huh? It is a ceremony that in Israel, when a son becomes, hits his 12th birthday, it's a ceremony that will be commissioned to confer the name of the father upon the son. Please, are you with me now? Please, I need you to be with me. I said it is a ceremony where you will now become a man. I think some African societies and cultures have similar things, like a ceremony where they commission you into manhood. They have it in Israel. So once you go through that ceremony and they celebrate with you, you can now be referred to as a man. That is why the age of 12 is called the age of accountability. Because after this level now, if you commit a crime, it will be in your father's name. So when Jesus said, I and my father are one, the ceremony of Bat Mitzvah that Jesus went to, Joseph was not his father. Hello. Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus. He was an adopted father. So whose name would Jesus bear? If Joseph was not his father, and he was being presented as a son on his coronation, whose name will he bear? Who is his father? So whose name will he bear? So when he said, if you are to be honest, you will agree that that name doesn't really work for you. A lot of Christians know that name does not. A lot of Christians cannot remember the last major prayer that God heard, that they prayed. They pray. In fact, some people have now entered a mode where we pray. Whether I answer or doesn't answer, it's like a subconscious state. Father, we thank you for today. Father, as we go out today, go with us in Jesus' name. We'll pray for all our children. We'll pray for them as they go. God will bless them. The school boss will bless the aunties and the teachers. And even for mommy and myself, as we go out today, God will bless us. We'll find profit. You pray and all of that in Jesus. Even before somebody, you are already at the door. You just did what Christians do. It's a ritual. And I want you to begin to think with me, because somebody said, when Muslims go to mosque, they remove their shoes. When Christians go to church, they remove their brain. You know. So don't let yours be like that. As I'm talking, I want you to be thinking with me. Come on, are you here now? Let's go back to our scripture. I want to engage with the prophetic word. The first thing that Paul shared with us here to his son, he said, this charge I commit unto you. This charge I commit unto you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies that have gone on before you, that thou mightest war a good warfare. Paul was not known to have any biological children. But he had other sons like Timothy. Timothy was a teenager. For those of you who are waiting to be 40 years old before you become a man of God, this man was a very young person, when he became a bishop over churches. And there was always some kind of conflict between his personality, how people perceived him, and the church that he was meant to pastor. And that's why you will find that the writings of Paul to Timothy was telling him to be strong. Talk, be strong. You are the pastor. Be strong. Let no man despise your youth. Ah! You quoted it as Rema. Paul wrote it because there was a problem in that church. Let no man despise your youth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tell anybody, don't despise. The man they wrote the letter to, he had very old people in his church whose children were the pastor's mate. Because there are some people, they can't even if they are at the office, the moment they see their boss or a supervisor, a department head, and they say, this person, say, ah, can you imagine? It's just 2 months apart. We are just 2 months apart. They can't respect that person. As far as they are concerned, that person is only lucky. He's only lucky to be there. She doesn't deserve to be there. So even they say, you can't even say, good morning, madam. Cause for you, why? 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 Funke, why? You like, why? Has anybody ever spoken to you? Have you ever had a conversation where people say, look, I'm just respecting you because of your office. The moment they said that, the respect is gone. You too. Also lose your respect for the person. He said, this charge I commit to you, my son Timothy. It's a charge. It's not a suggestion. It's a charge. This command. This instruction. I am putting this in your hands, my son Timothy. He said, the reason why I'm putting this charge in your hands is because of the prophecies. There are people, especially when you find that the Lord has given somebody a prophetic word over your life consistently, make it a decision not to be far from such people. No true prophet will deliberately put himself in your face because he doesn't have time. We have a mandate from the Lord. Our mandate is to stand before him like Elijah. Say, the Lord God before whom I stand. That's the mandate of a prophet, not to stand before men. Please, are you with me? So if you consider somebody a prophet in your life, do your best to always check in once in a while. Never spoken to him one-on-one before then, except the casual, good morning, sir, good morning, sir. But that day, the Lord used him to bring a sense of direction. And that word was what took me from that meeting into the university. And that was how I knew I was supposed to do certain things on campus, because of one meeting. Now, there were people in that meeting, and for those of you that are concerned that somebody is prophesying and everybody is listening, nobody will remember. People have come into meetings, even in a church like this, and they received a prophetic word and they shouted, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But that was it. Paul said, this charge, not this excitement, this charge, this is what I'm bestowing to you. This is a command. Why is this charge so important? Now, for you to understand the charge, how many chapters do we have in 1 Timothy chapter? In 1 Timothy, is it 5 or 6? Now, Paul used 6 chapters to explain the church. But the purpose of the book of 1 Timothy was that a prophetic word or a series of prophecies have been released over time over this young boy. So now we need to teach around it. Teach around it. For you to understand that even when you say you have got a prophetic word, you need to build foundations that can hold it. Please, somebody with me now. That foundation is in teaching. Come on now. Is somebody here? I said that foundation is where? It's in doctrine. It's in teachings. These are some of the loopholes that someone ever, Pastor God said. God said, and God is still saying, Pick the book. The day, oh, if the Lord said, oh, my daughter, I have commissioned you to be a powerhouse of wealth in my body. I hope you know that everything that the Lord does, it does it in the body of Christ. The scriptures say God set some in the church, first as apostles. It set some in the body as prophets. He said everything the Lord does is first of all for his body. So when you are looking at your family and say, oh, there's so much poverty in this family. Oh God, if only you can bless me. For you or for the body? For you or for what? So those are the questions. That's why some people pray. The equation is wrong. Anything God does is for the body. Why would... And God gave us... You see, God gave us models, postures in the scripture. Like that woman, what's her name? Is it Dorcas or Rhoda that died? And Dorcas that Peter went to raise. The scripture says she was a very wealthy woman. Well, was Peter wealthy? Any wealth Peter had, Jesus took it. The day he took that ship, that boat, Peter became a poor man. Peter will only see his friends who have now moved from sole proprietorship to limited liability. And some of them have gone into JV, joint ventures. He will be seeing them on the altar as his spirit. Now, wow, Brother Bodunde has even taken it a step further. But that's no more your calling. And don't get it wrong. You may be tempted to like, I wish God had just left me where I am. But it's what it is. Meanwhile, God did not say I should not walk. What he said to me is, if I do my hands like this, I want to see you. Do you understand that? If I do like this, come. That means I'm not permitted to do anything. That if the Lord does like this, if he snaps his fingers, I will not say sorry, it's because of the place I went to. Who sent you? I didn't ask you to go there. So anything I do has to be casual. It can be remote. Not something that they'll say, when God says, okay, meet me now for prayers. That's there's a Zoom meeting. I will crash your Zoom and crash your system. I say, if you come, you say you have a Zoom meeting. Who is the person asking you to come? What are you even doing there? Adam, where are you? I didn't remember telling you to hide, though. I told you to manage the garden. See, this charge, everything that was built into that book, 1 Timothy, was because prophecies had gone on ahead. So you must understand that if you are somebody that has been receiving prophetic words, you have the Lord has been speaking to you severally about certain things, you may want to take a moment and study first book of Timothy. He said, these prophecies have gone on ahead of you. Question, do you have record? Do you have a detailed record of what the Lord has said to you over time? Have you paid attention? Have you given it to these things? Now, there's a problem with receiving prophetic words that we must be very careful about. We must be careful about reading our meanings into a prophetic word. This is so common and so rampant. And I can tell you for free. One of the ways you can sift through the real meaning of a prophetic word is to expose it to the principle of patience. Put that prophetic word in the presence of God and be praying over it. Don't try to rack your head. Oh, every time I see red color, it means judgment. It means blood. Yes. In fact, for me, red means wealth. I know you don't believe. Say, Pastor, I saw a gold apparel being given to me. It may mean that you're about to get married. It doesn't mean that you are moving to Aso Rock. Because gold means, you know, we have meanings we associate with certain things. And yes, God does honor those meanings. But I'm saying, if you want to be proficient in interpretations, you must learn how to take a prophetic word put it before the Lord and allow the presence of God incubate until the egg cracks and the meaning comes out by itself. So what we find is that the Lord will say something, will give a word concerning a person in a meeting, and then the person will just assume, oh, the Lord says I'm getting married this year. And then she will just realize, okay, last week, in the last 1-2 weeks, I've been chatting more with Kunle. Somewhere in her head, she already thinks it's Kunle. Then when Kunle later loses interest, she changes her demeanor and begins to wonder, was the prophecy wrong? No, you are wrong. Because God didn't tell you Kunle. You associated Kunle to the prophecy. Allow the prophecy to stand on only one thing, which is the word of God. It will save you a lot of stress. Please, are you with me now? Oh, are you with me now? You people are not with me. It's okay. Every time the Lord will speak in detail about a person's life, go and check all through scriptures. It was to give that life a sense of direction, preparing that person for a journey in destiny. That is why somebody telling you your phone number cannot be prophecy. Because even demons have access to that information. Come on now. Hello. People are angry with me. I could have asked your friend for the number. Before coming into the meeting. Now, am I saying that a prophet cannot know details about you? No. In fact, as a prophet, you can know people's name, know their phone number. But that is not the prophetic mission. What you are operating is what you call the word of knowledge. For it to be prophetic, you have to go beyond mundane. Beyond what the person ate. A true prophetic ministry will reveal Christ. Hey, okay. Do I teach on that one or should I leave it for another day? Because I just said something now. The way you responded, I knew you didn't get it. I say a true prophetic ministry will do what? It will reveal Christ. So when you hear something that is prophetic and it does not lead you back to God, it wasn't God. If the Lord says, well, okay, let me explain. Because some of you need to know that someone can prophesy out of his soul and not out of his spirit. Are you with me now? I can come to you and say, for thus said the Lord, I'm going to move you from point A to point B. Praise the Lord. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, it is so. You say, amen. You shake my hand. Say, thank you, Mr. Bernard, for that prophetic word. And there you go. Then another prophet could come and say, for thus said the Lord, I will move you from point, the same prophecy, point A to B. But there comes a sense of urgency in your spirit and you tell yourself, after this meeting, I'm going to pray. Please, are you with me? A true prophetic ministry will always lead you back to stand before God. If it leads you to man, there's something wrong. Either with you or with the prophet, or with the prophecy. Paul said to Timothy, he said, the reason why I'm giving this charge is because you are going to be engaged in a lot of spiritual warfare. That's what Paul was saying to his son. And I may not be there when you are fighting these battles. And there may be questions that are being asked about the validity of your authority. People will say, oh, you are a young man. You are not even married. How can you be a pastor? You may give an idea, Timothy. And somebody will say, go and sit down. It doesn't work that way. Life is not like that. When you are mature, you will know. When Timothy asks a couple who are having issues, come and see me at the office. Somebody among them is like, how can a pastor who is not married be giving me counsel? And yes, even I share that thought. I think if you are not married, you should keep quiet. Yes, that's realistic. It's realistic. Because you don't know nothing. You know what it means to be in love. You don't know what it means to be married. Unfortunately, the only way to know is to be married. Unfortunately. How many ladies continue to use their makeup the way they use it after they got married? Okay, you see the ones married, the ones laughing, many of them are married. How many of you agree with me that sometimes it takes, you have to be deliberate to use it? There's no time. You have this baby clutching to you, you have the other one clutching to you. Whoa, let's just wear anything and go to church this morning. I'll sit at the back. It takes a lot of decision to want to look like 18 years old when you have been married for 6 years or 10 years. And I'm not saying you should be looking like my mother. I'm just saying that. But for a young person, you need to be on top of your game, because that's how the guy will see you. Or even all those who lied and say, "Oh, I was praying, the Lord told me she's my wife." It's a lie. It's a lie. You went to a lady who seemed to be able to take care of herself. Nobody wants to clean up after anybody. At least you need to be sure that when she uses the makeup and everything, you are still happy about who you are seeing after 5 years of marriage. So no man is going to marry you because of today. He's already looking at the future, that will she still be attractive? He will tell you, "I want to meet your sister." It's not because he wants to know your sister's name. He wants to see how big or fat or slim your sister has become. He wants to see your mom. Somewhere in his mind is calculating. "Oh, is this how my wife will look like when she's old?" He's calculating that, "Will I be able to live with her like this after 40 years? Say, "I was praying." The brother is telling you he's praying because he knows that's what you like to hear. Because once they tell you, "We are praying," the lady will say, "Okay, I need to pray." How many ladies they went to their WhatsApp group and chatted with their friends? Believe me, knowing the will of God for your marriage is the easiest thing. But that's not for today. He said that thou mayest war a good warfare. That means that this road is filled with battles. Come on, are you with me? The road, the path of your destiny is filled with battles. Have you ever started a process or a journey and at some point started asking yourself, "Did I do the right thing?" Come on now. Dr. Ni, I know some doctors who left Nigeria. Now, the assumption is that when you are a doctor and you go abroad, you are almost made, in quote, especially when you've passed the certification exams. All right? But there are doctors, after 3 years, 4 years, the hospital did not want them to touch their patient. They've passed too. Have you seen such cases? You've seen such cases? They will not allow you. Say, "No, carry fire. Call the other doctor." They will be sending you a message. This is a trained doctor who has been treating patients in Nigeria. Some of them nurses. They'll say, Maybe they just look at you from afar. They feel this person is not confident enough. There are some soft skills that should go with your profession. This person is not able to say, "Take paracetamol." And when the patient says, "Take it like that." I mean, to see doctors that tell you, "Take it like that." You tell him, "Doctor, this doesn't work for me." He say, "Take it like that." And then you find that it actually works. Because the doctor said, "Take it like that." It's not a suggestion, it's a charge. Obey. Not an advice. Say, "Take it like that." So, that somebody said, "Oh, God told me." Listen, the moment you say "God told me," you have opened the doorway for the battles that will now qualify you for that statement that "God told me." That's the one people are not ready for. Or that's the one they have not seen. That when the Lord says, "Go in that direction," Satan has heard the voice, God has heard, man has heard. They will now marshal enemies on your path. If you are a lone ranger, you will not survive. If you don't have covenant friends, you will not. If you are the one that likes to be the wisest person in your inner circle, you will not survive, because nobody can challenge you. And if you are the kind of person that thinks that the kind of things people post on their status is a reflection of their wisdom, the Lord help you. Most of those things are, they saw it on another person's status, they copied it, they pasted it, and you are reading it and getting blessed. Wow, she's so wise. She's not wise. All you have to do is look at the decisions she has made over time. Then you know that this person has head knowledge but no heart knowledge. Paul was speaking by experience. Paul was telling his son that, look, every time God lays his hand on a man, whether it's for ministry or for finance or for a marital journey or destiny, whatever it is that the Lord asks you to do, the moment God speaks, Satan will marshal his agents. Say, go there. Take him off. And the first symbol of that warfare is that you will start forgetting things. You will start what? You will start forgetting things. The books where you have documented, you start looking for it. Did God say red light or green light? Where's the book? You'll be looking for it. Your baby has taken the book, took it to the third room where nobody sleeps, dropped it under the bed. What did Jesus teach us? He said when the word of God came, he said the first thing the enemy did was that he sent bird. They came and picked up everything you heard. When you were busy falling under the anointing, they were picking it up. Receive your power. You say, pick it up. Power. You, as you are falling, make sure your phone recorder is on. Before you go to Busa, Busa, dear, Alpha, you know you always helped me. Did you record? Sir, me too, I was in the spirit. Then you go to the media team, say, we lost the recording. Say, I didn't hear anything. Then you go to pastor. Pastor say, I can't even remember what I told you. How many of you have come to me and I told you that I couldn't remember? Once I prophesy, it's done. I've seen people say to me, Pastor, you say, I say, are you sure I'm the way? I told you, they say, okay, glory be to God. Satan will send the mysteries of the air, the prince of the power of the air. They will come for your mind. They will come for your thought patterns. They will begin to try and make efforts to negate and dissuade you from what God has said. There are people who came to me and said, God told me that she's my wife. And then a small challenge came up. They didn't go back to check with God. They just said, irreconcilable difference. Sorry, when God said she was your wife, did he factor the differences? So who gave you the power? If God brought you here, you don't have the power to go. It's the person who brought you that can tell you leave. So when people tell me God said, I'm always laughing because I know that they didn't speak. Your character already tells me that you didn't hear God. The best have come for the world. So please let's settle it once and for all. That prophecy is to prepare you for warfare. If there is no contention to the word you said you have heard, it was in God. Are you together now? Are we together? I say if there's no contention, it was in God. When Jesus was supposed to die, a contention arose and he didn't want to die again. The reason why there's a contention is because you are on track. The day Satan is done with you, there will be no pressure again. He will just leave you. The destiny has been eroded. You must watch out for the emissaries of the air. All those things that contend with your mind, trying to confuse you. Because Satan cannot compete with prophecy in the spirit realm. He competes with prophecy in the soul realm. The realm of your emotions, the realm of your thoughts, the realm of good ideas, the realm of suggestions, the realm of alternative positions. The realm of other offers. Satan contends there. And Paul said, I am giving you this charge because there will be battles. And I want you to war a good warfare. That means there are bad warfare. There are people who were chosen by God, but they didn't engage properly. And they lost. They were taken out. They were wounded. They were disqualified. Like Demas. They were disqualified. All these people you are looking at in scripture were put there, select. They were not the only ones who committed crimes in the Bible. But God just chose them so that you can know that what you are dealing with, they've been dealing with it since Bible days. A lady was an harlot. She helped Joshua. She became one of the progenitors or the lineage where Christ came through. Telling you that no matter how far you have gone, if you begin to follow Christ, a repair and restoration work has automatically started. Come on, are you with me now? That wherever you are, the moment you come to Christ, it is not just your salvation they will give to you. A restoration work with what? We begin. Which means that as long as you continue to follow the Lord, that restoration will be going on. It's like a plugin, or it's like an installation that operates at the background in your system. It's just working. You don't see it, but it's there at the background, making sure that the system works very well. I installed a software on my system yesterday. Very powerful software. Very powerful, you know. It's a very powerful software. And after that installation was done, I got a prompt on my system and said, for this application to work, you need to restart the system. Have you seen such applications before? So, what Paul was saying to Timothy, there is a place for, you see, when he said, I want you to wage a good warfare, he was saying, look, sometimes you will need to shut down. Let this prophetic word, by reason of your retreat, your fastings, your prayer, your meditations, integrate with your core, with your spirit. If you continue to keep running like this, you don't want to shut down. And you are saying, oh, the world is going, the world is moving, you need to catch up. You are not in a race with them. The idea of a prophecy is to even stop you from the rat race. So you need to shut down. Let the system reset and reboot. And when the system comes up, you launch that application and it comes up and it works well. So every time there's a prophetic word, it can tell you what level you are at in that journey. It will also tell you, for this phase you are in, you need to change your approach. Maybe you've been praying around 9 p.m. praying for 15 minutes. You now need to move it to 1 hour. Because depending on what part of the battle you are engaged with, if just as God revealed to Ezekiel when he took him through the temple, and the first he saw the waters of life, and the first level of the water was where? Around his ankle. That was the first region. Then he moved where? He moved to the knee region. Then he moved to the waist region, and he could no longer move easily. Now, the requirement for each of these levels will be different. If at the first level, you could speak in tongues for 5 minutes and you would be fine. Now you move into the knee region. What is that telling you? At this point, you have to start praying. The knees represents prayer. You have to pray like you have never prayed before. That's what this area is telling you. Huh? Then it comes to the waist region and it's telling you to move into this dimension of God. You must allow God to become your support structure. If you want to move into this realm of glory, this realm of the anointing. Huh? Because at that moment, you can't flow easily in that ocean. In fact, at some point, your legs won't touch the ground again. So you must now depend on the help of the Holy Spirit to give you speed in your journey. While all of us might be on the same path, but if I am at the ankle level and you are at the waist level, our concentrations must be different, because the battles will also be different. See, Pastor, but we prayed, but we didn't pray enough. Did you pray enough? Can you beat your chest and say you prayed enough? So you must know what level you are flowing in per time, so that you understand that for this to be a good warfare, there are things I must adopt. Nobody will tell you, go and do this. You will sit down and agree with your maker. This is how I want to operate. I spoke to one of my daughters, you know, in Canada, and she said, Pastor, Monday morning, I delete Instagram app. Friday evening, I install it. Then she logs in. And she will send me one skit or video. So when she said, I know that, okay, she's online now. Then Sunday night again, or Monday morning, she deletes it. So I asked why. She said, that's the only way to keep my fire. That's the only way. She said, it's very easy to become addicted. And most people are addicted, don't even know they're addicted. They don't agree. They think they are just being real. They are being, no, I'm fine. I'm in a good place. So she would delete the app and then reinstall it. That's the only way she's managing. So there are certain things that you will now decide by yourself. First 3 days of every month, I'll be fasting. First 3 days, you decide. Whether there's a problem or not. These 3 days, this is how I will fast. Do you know most people, when they say they fast, what they just do is they don't eat. They don't eat. Then whenever they want to break, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the grace. Pray for 5 minutes. Father, bless us. Amen. Amen. So we'll continue tomorrow. Some people spend more time online when they fast than when they are not. So don't fast again, so that you can stay off the internet for a while. Because now, if I say fast, you just look for one movie with 9 seasons or 12 seasons. By the time you watch this thing from 10, you say, Pastor, I told you just go. You come and download all the episodes with my internet. They say, you sit down in your room. Say, Pastor, say, oh, maybe she's praying. There's no noise there. Nobody should go and disturb Busayo. But Busayo just sits on the bed. She does that. Disconnect the charger. Headset. By the time, she's not even done with season 2. It's already 6 p.m. And how does she know? She hears my voice outside. Father, we thank you because I want you to begin to thank him. I want you to be, once you hear, I want you to begin to thank him. I want you to type hallelujah. Type hallelujah. You say, Pastor, the prayer started. You come on. All of us are fasting. We are not fasting. You are watching film. You must choose your consecrations. Nobody will tell you. And most of us are without consecrations. That's why only few people amongst us have been blessed into the realm of power. Very few people. A lot of people are preaching, though. Huh? But very few people are making progressive, taking progressive steps into the realm of power. There's a realm called the realm of power. Say, for when he shall come, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and he shall baptize you with power. There's a realm of power different from the realm of the Holy Ghost. A lot of us are baptized, and we just, the ability to speak in tongues with a little token. But do you know there's more? There's more. There's a realm that is called the realm of power, dominion power over everything, like Babalola or like William Braham. The reason why is because of your prophecy. And can I say to you that your prophecy, the ones you said you have received, you don't even know the full implication yet. You only know the phase you are in. I say you only know the phase you are in. There is so much more about your life and your future that is kept from you, because you are at the ankle level. And they will only be given to you as you progress into the waist level. God also measures our obedience and our alignment to see what he can now introduce to us. So you may have a prophecy detailing 8 years, but the meanings of those things and those words you have heard may be revealed in phases. I wish I could tell you some personal stories, but I can't, because they are still being kept. Like about this church, things that is said to me the day I answered I will do this thing. I will do it for you. I will serve you. This person, you will meet her in the future. This one, you will meet this person in social period. This person, people I've never met before. This one, this is what this person will do in your life. This is what this person will do. This one, will do. And he said, you've not met them. We've not started the first service. So, which means, if the Lord is gracious enough to give you certain things ahead of time, two things you must do. Number one, your obedience to God, you cannot negotiate it. Please, are you with me now? Your what? Your obedience to God, you cannot negotiate it. You cannot have two masters. Two masters does not mean that you are bowing down and your head to idols. No, it means the person, this other person who has your attention. This other person who has your attention. I told one story that involved you. Do you remember when I told you about coming to the UK for a, was it a PhD or something? Do you remember one conversation like that? Do you remember what you said to me? Let me tell you, because you are not the one who spoke. I spoke to you about Komo. Do you remember that story? I shared it here. I said, we were talking and I said, that there's one offer, you know, about coming to the UK, one thing. We just spoke about it, you know. So Komo said, that's fine. You know what? And I said, but this is what I'm thinking. Out of nowhere, Komo just said, but this is not what you have been asked to do. Now, the Komo I know cannot talk to me that way. He probably doesn't even remember he said it. But I heard it. It is that same master's voice. Your one true master. The one that will not become emotional with you on your destiny. He will tell you, Komo. He said to me, he said, but that is not God's way for you. Niji, which is when I've been prophesying to you. Niji told me, he said, this is, but he said it with a very calm. I sensed the authority and I was smart, wise enough to realize he was not the one talking. And that was what ended that phase. Did the Lord say, I won't go to the UK? He didn't say so, but this is not the time. He may decide tomorrow is New Zealand. Some people will go to places and say, the gospel has come to this area. No, if you want the gospel to go to an area that Christ has not been named, so that you can say the gospel has come. Go with a megaphone. Don't go with instruments like this. Say, we bring the kingdom of God to UK. Yes, sir. People are already preaching in the UK. You need to go as far as Antarctica if they allow you there. Then raise your flag at the airport of Iraq. The kingdom has come. If they allow you to leave the airport, call me bastard. So if you want, you have to be wise. Don't make noise. Just be going jeje till they allow you enter. If the Lord sends me to Iraq today, I won't go with the Bible. I'll go with my certificate. I'll just download the Bible on my laptop and everything and share the interface. Where the Bible is, you won't see it. I'll come and say, I'm Dr. Gbenga Shafi. I have a PhD in sociology. I'm here. They say, you are welcome. You are welcome. I'll be teaching at your university of whatever. You are welcome. And I'll start to say good morning here. They will explain. I will laugh. They say, okay, carry your wallet and go. But the moment you get into the land, your first task is not to start a church. It's to look for a son of consolation. Everywhere the Lord sends you to, there will be a son of God, somebody waiting to receive you, that God has said, minister to this person. The person may not even have much. That's how you know you're in the will of God. You cannot say God sent you somewhere. You cannot say God told you to marry. You cannot say God told you to go and start this job or something. And there is no son of consolation with a word of encouragement and confirmation. There were two men that God put in the life of Peter, in the life of Paul. Number one was Ananias. Ananias led Paul to Christ. But he doesn't have international ministry. The second was Barnabas. Barnabas means what? Son of consolation. I'm going to drill this thing down because I want you to be able to look at yourself and say, okay, this is where I am. And this is at the things I will need to do. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed this morning? I want you to thank the Lord for what you have heard. I want you to thank the Lord.